Our next speaker is Janet Dempsey, talking about Royal Marines 350.
Welcome to this talk on the records of the Royal Marines. We are not capturing the actual corps, but we are capturing the records and the data that's contained within. And I want to talk to you about two projects currently underway. Literally, the Marines serve as both soldiers and sailors. And this year has been a particularly busy year for the Corps. It's their 350th anniversary, and they've been organising parades, concerts, firework displays. We just looked at their records. As it is their 350th anniversary, it only seems right to start this talk with a potted history. On the 28th of October 1664, Charles II authorised an order in council raising a force of 1,200 soldiers who were to be distributed amongst His Majesty's fleet and prepared for sea service. The original order in council survives in PC2/57 and is now available through the National Archives website as part of the anniversary blog. Although they were raised as the Duke of York and Albany's Maritime Regiment of Foot, the Duke, James, who became James II, was actually Lord High Admiral, so they became better known as the Admiral's Regiment, and they were actually part of the Army. Over the next 91 years, they passed between Army and Navy control, and Marines on land often found themselves under Army control, passing back into the Navy when at sea. They were disbanded and re-raised many times, and often, because of this confusion between Army and Navy, Marines often went for months and sometimes years without being paid. However, in April 1755, an order in council approved the raising of 5,000 Marines split into three divisions at Chatham, Plymouth and Portsmouth, and they were to be under the sole control of the Admiralty. And this is the point in history where our records for the Marines really start. In 1802, King George III designated the Marines Royal. In 1805, a further division at Woolwich was added, which was disbanded in 1869. The Marines at Woolwich were then distributed amongst the other surviving divisions. Until 1804, the Navy had relied on Royal Artillery for gunnery services on board ship. But an order in council authorised the creation of artillery companies attached to the divisions. The number of these companies fluctuated depending on the military situation and the need at the time. In 1859, the Royal Marine Artillery were formed as a distinct division and were housed at Eastney Barracks. These became known as the Blue Marines. In 1855, the infantry section of the Royal Marines took the name Royal Marine Light Infantry, and these became known as the Red Marines. In 1923, the Blue and the Red Marines merged to form the Royal Marine Corps. So it's those records from roughly the 1755 period that we've been looking at. So ADM 157, the work so far. It's a difficult series of records to access. You need to know the division that the Marines served in. And in some cases, and for some periods of time, you also need a service number. Now, you can get some of this information through the records in ADM 171, which are the medals, and ADM 313, which is another complex set of indexes, but it's a very convoluted process. The project actually started to replace a partial card index. However, it soon became apparent working with the card index that this was very partial and it was also very full of mistakes. It actually only covered about 600 pieces of the 3,625 files within that series. So we decided to carry it on. Currently, the project is about two-thirds complete. And as of yesterday, there are 114,389 individual items on discovery, which are all name searchable. This figure has largely been accomplished by the efforts of on-site volunteers and the Friends of the National Archives, And their efforts are the subject of my very grateful thanks, because I would be here till I was about 140 otherwise. Just to give you an example, this is a file that's not yet been catalogued. It shows discharges from Portsmouth Division for 1906 for men with the surname beginning with F. What our work has taught us as well is there's a lot of misfiles. So inevitably, not all names in that file are going to be F, and not all of the discharges are going to be from 1906 either. This shows an example of the fully catalogued entry. The files have been foliated, so a copy can be ordered without you ever having to visit National Archives. We've captured the full name and any aliases, his age, his place of birth, where and when he attested, when he was discharged, the reason for his discharge. And what we're doing with this data is not just making it name searchable, but you can actually do clever things with this as well. So you can see how many men attested in a particular place at a particular time, how many Marines were invalided out of the service after a particular conflict. So there's ways of manipulating that data. So by next year, the records in ADM 157 will be fully catalogued, and this will go on to complement the records in ADM 159, which National Archives digitised several years ago. However, that leaves a third main series of records for the Marines, uncatalogued and difficult to access. And these are the description books in ADM 158. So we have a plan. ADM 158 was not originally my idea, but it's one I became involved in due to a funding bid from the University of Exeter. They wanted these records catalogued so they could capture a snapshot of social history from the mid-1750s right through to the early 20th century. And the information these books contain is incredible. Unfortunately, that bid proved unsuccessful, but the idea stuck with me. I can be very tenacious. And for the last 2 years, I've been trying to revive this project. And this year, I managed to secure funding from the National Archives for conservation of these records, and from the Friends of the National Archives for digitisation. This project will complete the picture of service. We will have the triangle of the three sets of records, which will all be interlinked and intersearchable. Why these records exist? They were created when a Marine entered the service. Every Marine was recorded, but not all volumes survive. So we estimate there may be about 600,000 names. Essentially, these records predate photography, and they give a full description: his name, age, height, hair and eye colour, complexion, where he was born, where he enlisted, any previous service, his former trade, and eventually we'll make a note of why he's discharged. And the reason they capture all of this information, so they've got a nice description of him, they know where his loyalties lie, they know what his trade is, so they know what he's capable of. So if he does a runner, they can go and get him. They make any Marine deserter eminently traceable, but as a consequence of that, we have this lovely information which would, as I say, complete the picture of the Marines as service and give us a good physical idea of him as well. Because of the information they contain, they have huge potential for academic research, and maybe even PhD students would take this up. They are that valuable. Okay, the project is going to be completed 100% by off-site volunteers. So we are going to send the images out to people all over the world to basically catalogue and transcribe these records for us. There's 299 volumes in the series. You will not be getting a whole volume. We are splitting it down into pages, so a volunteer will be given a double page spread to transcribe. And we anticipate finishing this in spring of 2018. And this is going to be to coincide with the Zeebrugge raid, one of the most famous Royal Marine actions of the First World War. This is essentially what ADM 158 looks like, and they reveal some quite amazing facts. This one double page spread from ADM 158, which covers 1790 to 1810, reveals five men born in Ireland, but more surprisingly, two Germans, three Prussians, and three Dutch are amongst those signing up. There are labourers, butchers, gardeners, a stocking maker, a cabinet maker, a locksmith, and a steel toy maker. But more interestingly, there are four men whose complexion is described as brown. So there is huge potential there for the diversity angle on these records as well. They do show a really diverse picture of the Royal Marines, and I think they truly warrant capturing the call. Thank you.
This podcast is copyright to the National Archives. All rights reserved.